For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5:13-14. You are listening to the Resilient Masculinity Podcast. Hello and welcome back to the Resilient Masculinity Podcast. I'm William, your host. Thank you for listening today. Today we're going to dive into our three S's: safety, security, and service. We've already covered safety and stability. Now we're moving on to service. This week we're talking about service within the church. That's right, service within the body of Christ. This podcast is made for Christians by a Christian, so this is not a random assignment. This is not a random episode. So it should be no surprise that we're going to talk about serving within the context of our local community of believers, also known as the church, right? Your local gathering of believers. Now, what does that look like? How do you do that? You know, you may have heard of spiritual gift inventories. What does that look like? We'll discuss all that and more as we dive into this episode. Obviously, I am not your pastor, so take what I say with a grain of salt. I do not know where you serve in your local church. I don't know your gifts, your talents, your abilities. You do. And if you don't, those around you do. So that's what I'm going to talk about first. Just going to grab my coffee here. Not at all affiliated. This is actually my wife's work cup. I'm going to not show where she works because that's not a sponsor and I don't need that kind of legal hassle. Alright, so to start out, first going to talk about your abilities, your talents, and your gifting. Where do you want to serve? How do you want to serve in the church? And what does that look like? Ultimately, it's going to depend on you. What do you enjoy doing? What are some of the things that you do for fun? What are your hobbies? For my wife, she's a highly organizational person. That's part of the tism that I love about her, is she's organized. And she's very analytical. So she does a lot of things that require organization and analytics, i.e. ordering inventory for youth group, for the children's program, and for church services, excuse me, as well as other things such as like baptism week, you know, new member orientation, couples retreats, stuff like that. She's one of the few people who orders all of the inventory for it. So the church it's a local church, but it's an expanding local church with a lot of satellite sites outside of our church. So there's a kind of a corporate church, and then there's our individual site, which is different than the way I grew up. It is different. Not gonna lie, it's still a little weird to me, but I enjoy the change, and I enjoy the change in perspective as well. But she orders an inventory from their websites and from the suppliers that we need the stuff from. That's what she does. That's part of the things she does. Because she's so organized, she does a once weekly, you know, inventory of everything. So she does the med kits, she does the school supplies, the Sunday school supplies, the diapers, everything that needs inventoried, she inventories. Because that's a skill set that God gave her. He gave her the ability to be highly organizational and highly, she pays a lot of attention to detail. So small things that I would miss, she picks up on. Another way that she serves is she puts in all the different data for the previous week. So how many visitors we had, how many people made connections to the church and actually like want to be back. Whoever signed out a prayer request, she'll type those in. So again, there's that analytics and attention detail, that organization work. For me, that is nowhere near my skill set. Could I do it? Sure, I could do it. But that's not my skill set, and that's not where my talents and abilities lie. I grew up doing a lot of handy projects with my grandfather and my dad. Growing up at my local church, at my small hometown church, I was on the garden. Okay, my grandpa, my brother, and I, we built a community garden, and we took care of that. We did landscaping. I was a greeter and an usher. I served communion. Later on, when I became an adult, I was part of the security team. I mean, I was the security team, I should say. I was a licensed security guard in the state of Michigan, so I did have the credentials and the training, just so no one, freaks out. I had the proper licensure and all that. And now I'm a different state, different places, but I'm still part of my local church's security team, because that's a skill set that I have. I've trained in. I've honed it throughout the years, and I mean, it's part of my job now as a law enforcement officer. I get to use my abilities and my talents not only for my vocation, but I can use those skills that I've learned to serve in my church as well. Other ways that I serve at church is my wife and I, we lead small groups. Okay, we started a young married couple with no children, because that's where we're at right now in life. And there's a need for that in our specific church. And my wife and I, when we first got married, we co-led the young adults group that we had actually ended up meeting at. The lady who ran it stepped down from that, and we actually took it over. So we've also done that. We've helped lead Wednesday morning coffees before. Don't just take your talents and abilities. Now do so. Do take your talents and abilities and serve with those. Because usually, those are going to be the fun things. Those are going to be the things you enjoy doing, and you do them well. First things first, serve the Lord first. Don't do it for yourself. Don't do it because other people ask you to. Do it because, one, that you want to serve God. That's one. Two, do it because you want to serve others. Now, yes, serve God first. How do we do that? Ultimately, by serving others. Do it because people ask you to and they want you to, because they see something in you. Yes, I did just contradict myself. Please use some understanding in how I say these things. Okay? Don't do it purely because people ask you to. Do it because you want to and you want to serve God. But in doing so, see those opportunities as just that, opportunities. Opportunities to grow and to learn and to share and to serve. So if you're having trouble finding out what you like, maybe you're like, I don't know, I don't really do anything. I play Minecraft all day or whatnot. Talk to your friends. Talk to your church family. Talk to your pastors and your elders. Talk to those who are there on Sundays who see you, who know what you're capable of doing. If you have coworkers who also go to your church, talk to them, because they get to see you on an everyday basis. They get to know, hey, he used to do warehousing. He would be great at helping track our inventory. Or, hey, she worked at a paint store. Maybe she's good at painting. Hey, you got an interior design degree. we've got a sanctuary that needs updated. Like, stuff like that. Like, take the people around you and utilize them to help show you what avenues you may enjoy serving in. Also, go ahead and serve outside of your comfort zone. It's not always easy, but it's a good growing opportunity, and you may learn to like it. So when I was 15, maybe 16 than 15. I think I was 16. That sounds right. 16, roughly 16-ish. I started giving communion meditations at my church. If your church doesn't do this and my church here doesn't do it now, I'll kind of go into that a little bit. Usually during the time of service that we set aside for communion, one of the men would stand up, get in front of the pulpit, not the preacher usually, but usually another man in the congregation, and they would read a passage of scripture that would pertain to the Last Supper or communion. So usually it was the Last Supper passages, or when Paul is talking about communion. Those were usually your two go-tos. You could also do stuff about the crucifixion. And then you'd say a little spiel about tying it all back to the cross, tying it back about to what is communion, and, you know, remembering God's sacrifice on the cross for us, remembering our sin, and calling us to confess that sin to God during that time. And then we'd have music play, or usually you'd say a quick prayer, music would play, and the communion was passed around and people would take communion. I started doing that probably when I was 15, 16-ish. That was uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to speak up in front of people. Now, granted, yes, I have a degree in pastoral ministry. I've preached multiple times. I've given speeches to groups of 1,500 or more. Does not matter. Every time I get up on a stage, every time, even at work, when I have to give some kind of a formal training spiel in the mornings, I still have nerves. I still get nervous. Even on this, you know, podcast, I'm literally looking at a camera in front of me with a light next to me, my computer behind me, or, you know, in front of me here, my microphone to my side. This is still nerving, right? This is still nerve-wracking because it's talking in front of people. Even the good people still get nervous about it. That's okay. So step outside your comfort zone. But then why do we do this? Why is church an avenue for service? Why is it something as Christian men we're called to do? Why is just men in general, but specifically Christian men, why is this something we are called to do? One, it's what Jesus did. Flat out, just, it's what Jesus did. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's somewhere in Mark. I want to say it's Mark 10. I don't remember right off, so it's been a long time since I've said that one. Sorry, Mom. I know, my memory verses don't come back to me all the time. Anyway, that's in the Book of Mark, I want to say. It's what Jesus did. He served. He loves us so much that he served us. How did he serve us? By dying for us? By showing us how to serve each other and love each other? That the passage I read at the opening of this, that people will know that we're his disciples, and that the new commandment he gives us is that we love one another, we serve one another. That our freedom in Christ is not to build ourselves up, but to serve others. It's ultimately why we do it. It's because we love God and we love the people that God died for, which is everyone. So we serve them. Now, yes, there's two different ways to serve in the church, and I think you should do both. One, you serve the church. You serve within the church. You serve to help the church. And then you also serve as the church to those outside of the church. So first you serve in the church, as part of the church, and then you also serve as the church to those outside of the church. So, serving in the church, like I've been talking about, you know, inventory, you know, communion, security, what have you, you know, making meals for those who are sick, having, you know, being part of the team that sets up the Wednesday night coffee, or the Wednesday morning coffee, or Wednesday night service, or setting up for service just in general. All those are serving within the church, as part of the church, to your brothers and sisters in your church. And then serving out as the church to the outside, to those outside the church. That would be like youth group. Serving kids who are both in and outside of your church. That would be serving as part of the church to a local food pantry, a food kitchen, like a soup kitchen, or a homeless shelter. Those are the things that, like, I've served Thanksgiving dinner at a homeless shelter before. I've, you know, been part of soup kitchens before. Served at local homeless shelters, you know, helped serve with youth group. Even further outside the church than that, I've been part of a group of Christians who have helped with disaster relief or things like that. So you serve both within the church and then the outflow of the love that God shared with us and that we pour into each other, then we pour out to others outside the church. Generally, I don't advocate just giving people money, but I've seen it done correctly and accountable in a way that was accountable before. And usually that's to cover a specific need. Hey, lady three houses down is a single mom and she fell behind on her bill because her kid had a broken leg and she needs a water bill paid. Cool. Stuff like that. It's really easy. You know, I've helped build ramps for people who were not anywhere associated with the church. I've helped build sheds for people too. I'm thinking probably more sheds than, honestly, more sheds than I have ramps. Toriana and I, my wife and I, we've also, as a couple, serves people outside the church. And honestly, that looks like spur-of-the-moment type things. Neighbor lady needs someone to mow her lawn, but she doesn't have money. It happened relatively quickly after we moved here and got kind of established in this neighborhood. A lady probably about 4 miles away who her husband was terminally ill and she had come back with some equipment that she couldn't lift, and so Torian and I took a day, an afternoon, and we helped move stuff, and you know, we weren't asking for money or anything. We wanted to help because that's what Christians do, right? We serve. And gentlemen, this is something that your family learns from you. As a man, you set the tone. Again, we've talked about, you know, being the thermostat. Your wife is the thermometer. It tells you the temperature of the room right now. But you set that thermostat. You set that standard. If the standard is, we go in, we go out on Sunday, we don't talk to people, we don't serve, we only take but we don't give, then that's what your kid's going to do. That's the kind of kids you're going to raise. Mike, that's the kind of adults you're going to raise. And you're going to raise adults who are entitled. And they want things given to them. And they expect everything to be given to them. And they don't want to produce anything. that's not the kind of adult you want to raise. That's not the kind of legacy you want to leave. You want to leave a legacy of being generous and being helpful and being productive. Again, we want to build productive Christian households. This is part of it. So, gentlemen, you set the tone. So you serve. Find ways that you and your wife can serve together. Find ways that you and your kids can serve together. Serve your kids as part of their youth group, right? Serve as a youth mentor or a youth leader. Not just over your children, but also others, their age, their peers, and they get to see that. Appropriately serve those around you with your family, right? I'm not going to advocate you going to the most crime-ridden part of the city with the really sketchy homeless shelter with your little kids, right? That's something you as a grown man can do. I would not advocate bringing your kids there, right? Be wise in how you do things. But, you know, if we're talking about men who serve their families and their churches and their businesses, that's what it looks like. Looks like you loving God. Looks like you loving God by loving people, right? We show God's love by loving people. We do that both within the church as we serve our brothers and sisters. We meet their needs. We help supply them with the encouragement and the strength and the laughter that they need to fight well, to live well, to engage in this world as brothers and sisters, as part of an army of Christ, that we then go out together and we serve the community at large. We serve as the church to those who are not in the church. And we feed those homeless people and we pray for them and we provide safety and we serve them by building them ramps and we engage with them as the church. Gentlemen, that's all I have for today. Thank you so much. If you like this, please like, subscribe, comment. You know all the things that all the podcasts and the YouTube say. They're not wrong, though. It does help. It does help us with the algorithm. It does help us put this content out to more men, because we need more men who can say that, you know, with their household, that they serve the Lord, that they are men who love God, love people they serve, that all may know Jesus. Okay, that was the tagline of my church for years, was love God, love people to serve, so that all may know Jesus. Clearly that still sticks with me, right? That was probably about the time I was an intern at my church. But anyway, gentlemen, go out there, fight, laugh, feast it all up, and remember to take action, become the men you're called to be,